Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A majority on the Sitka Assembly want to reestablish a long-range planning commission, but a cautious minority is reluctant to repeat some mistakes of the past. The two sides will get together over the next couple of weeks and hammer out the details of what they hope will be a more results-oriented group. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Assembly members Michelle Putz and Matt Hunter sponsored the ordinance, which would revive Sitka's defunct Long-Range Planning and Economic Development Commission as the Long-Range Strategic Planning Commission. The title for this commission has always been a mouthful, and it's never sounded particularly exciting, but the group was at the forefront of major development issues in the past, often locking horns with the Assembly on everything from allocating economic relief funds after the close of the mill to tourism planning. The Assembly finally disbanded the commission in early 2011, but its absence has been felt, according to Michelle Putz.
We have all at times agreed that we as an Assembly want to be true leaders for this community, that we want to be more strategic and less reactive.
Reactive is an important idea. The Assembly meets a couple of times a year for visioning sessions and to discuss strategy for the future. Putz suggested that there was a piece missing in turning vision to reality.
We feel like this commission could provide that place for the Assembly community and staff to provide input on things like priority of services and facilities and vision, and could help to implement our strategy.
The Assembly, for example, has struggled to come up with a way to replace worn-out paving on city streets. Matt Hunter wants to bring more minds to bear on issues like these.
As problems we have, specifically funding city services and infrastructure, are some of the most important issues that we face as a community. And we've met briefly on, you know, a few visioning sessions, but I've figured out that we don't have a time as a body to do a good job of it. So if we have a commission of people who are interested in it, we could get a lot of people involved to talk about these issues publicly and invite people to come and come up with ideas for the Assembly and maybe have plans that are actually vetted. I think it'd be a great idea.
Hunter and Putz are two of the Assembly's newest members, but even some longer-serving members were on board, like Phyllis Hackett.
I am pro-planning, and I think that it's really important to have a public arm for planning. And I agree with what Matt said in that we don't have time. I mean, when I got in the Assembly 5 years ago, I thought, great, you know, we could be proactive and do some really good planning and take a look. But the truth is, we don't have time.
But Hackett's 5 years of service on the Assembly also gave her perspective. She was not quite ready to ride this bandwagon.
Sometimes commissions get a project in mind and they take off running with it. And we've seen it. I've seen it in my time here. And in prior to me getting on, where they take off running with an idea and they put a lot of time in and they work really, really hard on it. And then at the end, they come forward and the Assembly really didn't know what it was they were doing and isn't really necessarily in favor of it.
Tor Christensen, like Hackett, was on the Assembly that disbanded the Long Range Planning Commission 2.5 years ago. He also had concerns over a runaway commission.
And I just get nervous when a group of essentially self-appointed people have that much unelected self-appointed people, because that's what it is, because rarely do we have more than one person applying for a position, having that much power in the what's going to happen with the city.
The Long Range Planning Commission's power stemmed from its involvement in reviewing and updating Sitka's comprehensive plan. Christensen suggested that the commission lacked diversity and did not always act in the best interests of Sitka.
You're not really don't get a broad spectrum of the community, because the people who are interested in being on it are the people who are interested in usually a little less building, frankly, and more in terms of we don't want to do that rather than we want to do that.
Christensen also noted that during testimony on the fate of the commission in 2011, some members asked to disband. As it happens, Mayor Mim McConnell was on the Long Range Planning and Economic Development Commission, and that's not the way she remembers it at all.
What I was hearing from the commission was not disband us, but give us clear direction, and that's why the commission came to the Assembly that night And so we need help with this, and then they end up getting disbanded.
McConnell said the commission was spending a lot of time trying to make Sitka's comprehensive plan a living document and not just a reference. She supported the idea of reforming the commission with this as a goal and tweaking the ordinance to get there. Putz said the basic language was already in place. The ordinance would bring the commission into an assembly visioning meeting once a year.
To essentially have the assembly assign what they want them to do that year. So you would have a very specific opportunity to say, this is what we would like to see you do as a goal for this year.
Other fixes, like adjusting the number of commission members and giving them a flexible meeting schedule, also seemed like good ideas. Christensen, Putz, and Hunter agreed to sit on a committee over the next 2 weeks to work out the details that might prevent a repeat of the circumstances that caused the original commission to fail. Assemblymembers Mike Reif and Pete Esquiro supported the vote to postpone the issue 2 weeks to allow the committee to work, but otherwise held their cards. Reif said he wanted the ordinance to be a framework for success. Esquiro cast a vote 2 years ago to disband the commission. He said he was looking for a reason to change my position. The assembly will take up the ordinance reestablishing a long-range strategic planning commission at its next meeting on August 27th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In other business last evening, the assembly authorized the interim administrator to draw up an agreement selling about 20 acres of South Benchlands property to a local contractor, Sound Development. Sound Development was the only company to respond to the city's request for proposals for the properties. The RFP asked developers to create the opportunity for a diversity of housing needs. Company principal Jeremy Twaddle said he plans to develop the lots to allow builders to construct cluster housing and other multifamily units. There is no guarantee, however, that whatever is ultimately built on the lots will be considered affordable housing. The assembly also scheduled in-person interviews with its four finalists for the job of city administrator. They'll meet with two candidates at 5 p.m. Thursday, August 22nd, and two more at 5 p.m. Friday, August 23rd. A public reception for all candidates will follow Friday's interviews at 7:30 in Allen Hall on the Sheldon Jackson Fine Arts campus. City staff will also try to schedule a public tour of the Blue Lake Hydro Project while the candidates are in town. You can hear more on these stories during Raven News this evening at 5:19 p.m. The Ketchikan Public Library recently received word that it will be featured in a national magazine. KRBD's Layla Carey has the details.
Mention the new Ketchikan Public Library to local residents, and the usual response is, "Isn't it beautiful?" Well, that insider opinion now has been confirmed by an outside, unbiased third party. The Ketchikan Public Library, which opened early this year, has been chosen for the American Libraries Magazine's 2013 Library Design Showcase edition. Library Director Linda Genn says American Libraries is one of her favorite journals, and she was reading through that magazine a few months ago.
Just happened to see that, you know, it was time to submit a form for Library Design Showcase, and I thought, oh my gosh, we just finished this library, and so we need to submit it. So I contacted Tim Whiteley, and he said, well, yeah, of course we want to do it.
Whiteley is part of Bettysworth Welsh Whiteley Architects, the team that designed the library. Genn says the architects had planned to have a professional photographer shoot the building anyway. The deadline for entries just gave them a tighter time frame to get the Anchorage-based photographer here on a nice day.
Form was due on the 31st of May, so somewhere in May, a photographer came. We were kind of trying to get him when it was sunny, and so we were like, okay, travel now. No, travel now, you know.
The contest limits applicants to two categories, and Genn says she chose to focus on the library's expanded space for children and teens and the unique design. She says she got the application in just under the deadline and recently heard that the Ketchikan Public Library was selected in the unique design category.
It's one of those things where, of course, it's an honor to be in it because, you know, you have either a new or newly renovated library, but it's also really great to just look at it and see the different things that people have done with their libraries.
Genn says the magazine is well-read among librarians with a circulation of about 65,000, and the design issue is particularly popular. That issue will feature one photograph of Ketchikan's library.
They chose a photo as you are as you're standing by the fireplace looking out the windows over the mountains, and you can see the nice comfy reading chairs and then the wood bookcases and the wood columns and everything, and then of course the mountains. And it was an absolutely perfect day. So yes, they were showing off those mountains.
The Ketchikan Public Library will be sure to show off its inclusion in the magazine, and Gen says they'll buy extra copies too. That edition will be published in September. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Alaska Democratic Party filed a lawsuit Tuesday seeking to overturn the latest election map as drawn by the State Redistricting Board. The party was joined in the lawsuit by two individuals and is the second lawsuit filed to overturn the map. The first was filed by Fairbanks area residents. Attorney Joe McKinnon, representing plaintiffs in the latest suit, says he will seek to have the lawsuits consolidated. The Alaska Supreme Court has ordered that a new map be drawn for the 2014 elections after allowing an interim plan to be used for 2012 races. Last week, the Alaska Redistricting Board asked a judge to dismiss the earlier challenge. Calls after business hours Tuesday to the Redistricting Board and its lawyers weren't immediately returned. The city of Ketchikan has to fork over $825,000 to a Juno construction firm after the city ended a project early. The agreement was accepted July 10th, according to court documents. Miller Construction Company sued for the city's alleged failure to pay termination costs related to a reconstruction project. Miller won the nearly $5 million contract in 2011. The city claimed the company was slow and the work was not acceptable. The contract was terminated and the project rebid. Construction company president Terry Miller says he wasn't satisfied with the settlement, which was about $125,000 less than what they sought, but he said it was prudent to end the legal process. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or like to hear them again, visit us online, kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.